This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. John Kerry's chief rivals campaigned on the strength of their southern roots Wednesday, all but ceding Democratic presidential nomination contests in Michigan and Washington State in favor of a showdown closer to home. Kerry easily prevailed in five states among the seven that voted Tuesday in primaries and caucuses, piling delegates into his own column at twice the rate of his nearest opponent and making it ever harder for his challengers to see any way to stop him. Senator Joe Lieberman last night ended a presidential bid that he ran on his own terms but that never found a foothold with the voters. He was the candidate with the wrong message at the wrong time, supporters said, and his more moderate views didn't connect with the left-of-center Democrats desperate for a fiery crusader to beat Republican George W. Bush. Oregon voters resoundingly rejected a proposed $800 million tax hike, turning aside warnings about looming state budget cuts for schools and other key services. The proposed tax measure would have shielded schools from $285 million in cutbacks, while the Oregon Health Plan, which extends health coverage to poor people, now loses $182 million, meaning nearly 50,000 of the working poor would lose their coverage. A new link is emerging between letters containing the poison ricin found in mail facilities that serve the White House and a South Carolina airport, as federal investigators seek to identify the letter or parcel that may have carried ricin into a Senate mailroom. A senior law enforcement official speaking Tuesday on condition of anonymity said investigators had established strong links between the South Carolina and White House letters. The letter found in October at a postal facility serving the Greenville-Spartanburg International Airport was signed by someone who called himself Fallen Angel, as was a letter found in November at a facility that processes mail for the White House. Both letters complained about new regulations requiring certain amounts of rest for truck drivers. Both also contained ricin. More IE America Radio Network news after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
Looking for a little something special for your Valentine? How about a hissing cockroach? That's a suggestion from the folks at the Ross Park Zoo in Binghamton, New York. The zoo is running a Valentine's Day adoption program called Give Your Beauty a Beast. For $10, you can adopt a hissing cockroach for your sweetheart. The adoption includes a photo, cockroach fact sheet, and a free pass for your special friend to visit the little hisser. If a roach doesn't say I love you, the zoo has some romantic alternatives. There's a bearded dragon, a black vulture, and a bleeding heart dove. Chances are good that none of them will replace good old flowers and chocolate. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse-click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse-click away.
More than 500 American soldiers have now died in Bush's ongoing Iraqi war. Untold thousands of innocent Iraqi civilians have also died. Why? Because, Bush said, Saddam Hussein is a nasty guy who possessed horrible weapons that posed a mortal threat to the U.S. Bush and his top lieutenants screeched in unison that it was imperative to invade Iraq now and preempt the fiendish dictator before, as George so starkly put it, mushroom clouds rise over our country. The Bushites were absolute in their dire warnings that we had to go to war. George Bush, there is no doubt that the Iraq regime continues to possess and conceal some of the most lethal weapons ever devised. Dick Cheney, there is no doubt that Saddam Hussein now has weapons of mass destruction. Donald Rumsfeld, we know where they are. Colin Powell, leaving Saddam Hussein in possession of weapons of mass destruction for a few more months or years is not an option. They lied. Let that soak in. Our top national leaders flat out lied to we the people in order to put our young men and women into their deadly war. Early this year, with no White House comment, Bush and company quietly withdrew the 400-member weapons inspection team that they had put in Iraq to scour the country to find the weapons of horror that were the rationale for their invasion. No weapons or evidence of an active weapons program were turned up. Also, a January report from the Army's own War College scathingly concludes that Saddam posed no threat to the U.S. and that the invasion was, quote, a war of choice, not of necessity. This was promptly reinforced by a scholarly study from the Carnegie Endowment that found that Saddam had no weapons program that could pose an immediate threat and that, quote, administration officials systematically misrepresented the threat. This is Jim Hightower saying, this is no matter of innocent little lies. Their lies are stained with blood.
I would like to see a law that says your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
This time we'll say bye to the
sin. Where are we? There we are. Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us in one of the few nights we have left. February 27th looms. It's Wednesday, Truth Seekers. It's always Wednesday, in case you haven't noticed. So, White House Press Corps is keeping the heat on Simple Scotty about Bush's flip-flop on the 911 Commission. I'm sure you've heard about it. We'll have some sound on that for you. Plus, just a whole lot of stuff, okay? I have an email here from Jason in Long Beach, California. The other night, I asked a question, how could Al Gore have only won by 500,000 votes? Because we had 8 years of the impossible. We had, except for the first year, we had prosperity. We had no Americans dying in foreign wars caused or participated in by Bill Clinton. We had a very good Republican in the White House, Bill Clinton. Yes, a very good Republican. Come on. And things went swimmingly, not just for the wealthy, but for everybody in this country, right? Things were going fine. And, unless you take a look with a microscope, you could see all kinds of stuff that were not going so well. But generally speaking, please don't, let's not put too fine a point on it. Things were going pretty well. So my question was, how could we, the American public, say to 8 years of that, I don't want any more. I want war. I want recession. I want all kinds of bad things to happen to this country. I want indebtedness. I want a crappy economy. How could we have said that? Now, granted, we were misled, those of us who are willing to fess up to that. But Jason in Long Beach wrote in answer to your question, I think I can explain it to you. The question being, how could Al Gore have only won by 500,000 votes? The answer, Jason says, is sour grapes. For 8 years, Republicans flourished under a president who made everyone's life better and made this country stronger. Republican light or not, Clinton was still a Democrat, and he showed them up. He did what 8 years of Reagan and 4 years of Bush couldn't do. He did what they had always hoped that one of their guys could do, but couldn't. Regardless of how good their lives became, they still resented the fact it was the other team making this country better. I knew Shrub was a moron, but if you had asked me, I would have told you that a chimp making decisions by throwing darts couldn't screw up what President Clinton had left us. I would be willing to bet that they, the Republicans, thought the same thing. This, in combination with all of us getting fat and lazy and forgetting how bad it was before President Clinton. So, how could President Gore had only won by 500,000 votes? Pride, envy, gluttony, anger, greed, sloth, and maybe even some lust of a kind. We're all guilty at least some of these sins, and now we're all paying in our own hell. Jason Long Beach. Well, I did okay, although I don't think I fit into the seven deadly sins. Let me see here. Gluttony. Oh, yes, I do. Anger. I'm sorry. I do fall into that category deeply, all the way up to my eyeballs. Frank, our Kitchener, Ontario, Canada Bureau Chief, this is the last email, then we're going to move on. He sent this in. He wants to know something about how the media in the United States chooses a president, and people like Kucinich or now even Dean are being totally marginalized by the press. And Frank writes in, how is it that after two states, and now nine, that John Kerry's nomination is, quote, all but sewn up, close quote. It's like a slanted game of football. Where's the national debate on the issues? Where's Dean and Kucinich speaking to the issues now on the alphabet soup networks like ABC, NBC, CBS, blah, blah. After all, Frank writes, don't real red-blooded, patriotic, true Americans want the best man for president, the best man for the job? Why settle for the lowest common denominator? An idiot, Frank writes, that's an ancient Greek term for one who ignores public affairs. Idiot. Apparently, I'm not familiar with the Greek, Frank, but I'll take your word for it. A Greek term for one who ignores public affairs. Just like the idiot in the White House who has spin doctors for advisors, just like he refuses to read newspapers, shuns criticism, and couldn't care less about social or public issues in spending priorities, the mass media generally and specifically contribute to this idiocy. To quote Francois Ducrot, who was a Chrétien government spokeswoman, Bush is a moron. Little did she know how her sentiments are echoed by a growing segment of real Americans who don't exercise idiocy and who do spurn willful ignorance. Well said, Frank. Well, that's why he's our bureau chief. All of our bureau chiefs are well-spoken. Everybody that participates in this program is well-spoken, I think. The president of CBS Affiliate Relations made an announcement under the heading, "We are implementing additional measures to enhance broadcast standard protections for Sunday's Grammy Awards. Please see below." And then there's a memo here. It says CBS plans to enhance her ability to edit out any inappropriate or unexpected events from the Sunday, February 8th broadcast of the 46th Annual Grammy Awards on CBS. The memo... That's right. Yeah. The memo goes on to say the enhancement will include the ability to delete both inappropriate audio and video footage from the broadcast. Using a five-second delay, CBS has traditionally employed procedures that allow only for the elimination of inappropriate audio. This new enhancement will accomplish both. Now, why do you suppose they're doing it? Well, yes, Janet Jackson. Oh, my God. Little Janet got exactly what she wanted, right? Oh, my God, you can't buy that kind of publicity. God, oh, this is a sucker-filled country, isn't it? Oh, Jesus. Ah. What is happening out in Oregon? I was listening to our newscast here from the Take Back the Media guys. The voters in Oregon rejected a tax package that would have amounted to about $36 a year for each household with the state's median annual income of $41,000 or above. $36 a year. By a huge margin, that tax increase was defeated, 59% to 41%. The state of Oregon was looking for $800 million there. Now, this since the voters said no, screw it, this automatically triggers $544 million in spending cuts May 1st. The governor's Democratic governor said there will be loss of essential programs. There will be drastic consequences to some citizens. Police crime labs are going to have to be closed. Other priorities include that will be cut or eliminated health coverage for children, pregnant women, and senior citizens. No more funding for gambling addiction programs or detention centers for juveniles. What does that mean? The juveniles will be thrown in with the adult population now? 50,000 of the working poor will lose health coverage. It's the Oregon Health Plan, it's what it's called. It offers health insurance to poor people. And at one time, during the Clinton years, it was presented as an example for the nation. It's going to lose $182 million, meaning nearly 50,000 of the working poor will lose their coverage. School programs for the poor and law enforcement have already been hit hard by spending cuts of $1 billion. And in January of last year, Oregon voters also rejected a $310 million income tax increase. As a result, the school year was shortened. Remember that? We talked about it. State troopers were laid off. Thousands of poor people lost state health insurance. So the tax package on yesterday's ballot, according to the Associated Press, contained a temporary surcharge that would amount to about $36 a year for a household with the state's median income of $41,000. I don't know, man. Things are just getting weirder and weirder, right? But more and more states are passing laws to keep the queers from marrying. That thank God that's going on, right? Jesus. Cynthia Tucker is the editorial page editor of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. She had a column. Was it today? I don't know what Cynthia is doing here. I like Cynthia. She's a progressive. She's a liberal. Good writer. And she says that Powell, Michael Powell, head of the FCC, obviously disgusted by the Justin Timberlake, Janet Jackson Act, has ordered a federal investigation. And as we talked about on the other night, that could result in pretty serious fines for several organizations. But as Cynthia Tucker says, before Powell starts patting himself on the back for his investigation, she has a question. Did you see the commercials? They were very offensive. And she goes on to say, did you notice all the beer commercials? Those are the worst commercials I've ever seen. Frat boy humor. What about the ads for pills to treat impotence? I had no idea, did you, what Bob Dole was starting? Erectile dysfunction. I never heard that term until Viagra. I'm sure for people who... for men who can't get it up, that this drug is wonderful, and there are physical reasons for people men not to be able to get an erection. But dear sweet Jesus, I mean, how many commercials, how many different products do there have to be about erectile dysfunction? Oh my God! So we had beer commercials with the farting horse. What, wasn't that nice, huh? A farting horse. And that one, remember the woman was sitting with her boyfriend in a horse-drawn carriage holding a candle close to a horse's ass, and the tail cranks up and the air bursts into flame and her face gets singed. That makes you want to drink a Bud Light? A horse fart? And the other, remember the ad that suggested bestiality? That's the one, the monkey is seated on the couch next to a young woman. And whenever her boyfriend leaves the room to get beer, I guess, the monkey starts to flirt with the woman. At one point, he says, "So, how do you feel about back hair?" Jeez! If Michael Powell's going to investigate something, the nicest thing that happened other than the football game, well, the nicest thing that happened during the halftime was Janet Jackson's boob.
I know it's true. Oh, so true.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cassie, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
The Mike Mullah Show.
Now in Sacramento, there's Conan the Groper promising he's changed.
Half behave badly sometimes. Yes, it is true that I was on rowdy movie sets. And I have done things that were not right, which I thought then was playful. But now I recognize that I have offended people.
I thought I was being playful. Just because I'd grabbed their breast, I thought I was playful.
Kathy's laughing at my Schwarzenegger. I'm sorry, I can't do it. All right, you do it.
I've groped and molested women in the past, but if you elect me, I promise I'll never do it again, because you know powerful politicians never abuse their power for sex.
Okay.
And that's how it's done.
Okay.
Hello, cutie pie. Your clothes, give them to me. Now. Come on.
The Mike Mullah Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Mullah.
24 past the hour. So while Michael Powell is going to investigate how Janet Jackson's breast was bared on CBS, as Cynthia Tucker points out in today's Atlanta Journal-Constitution, why not go whole hog here, so to speak, Mr. Powell, and take a look at the commercials, the horse farts and the just ugly stuff. What about that one with the little dog biting another man's crotch? Did you like that? No wonder they're selling the Viagra imitations. You know, when you think about a dog's jaws locked around your penis, yeah, you might have a little bit of trouble getting an erection, right? So anyway, as Cynthia said, I had no idea Viagra had spawned so many imitators. And what about in the commercial for Cialis? Is that how you say it? The voiceover for Cialis, another one of these erectile dysfunction drugs. The voiceover, after promising 36 hours of virility, warned of the potential for, quote, this is from the ad, a four-hour erection. That's family-friendly TV? And they make a big deal about Janet Jackson's breast? So anyway, it is, yeah, it's good to see CBS squirming, if only because of its hypocrisy. As everybody knows, that network refused a request from MoveOn.org. They wanted to buy time during the Super Bowl for an ad criticizing the Bush budget deficit, right? And if you saw this, if you've seen it, I'm sure everybody who listens to this program has seen it. Tame by political standards. It was not a Karl Rove-style ad. It was not a rip somebody's intestines out and hand it to them. It just makes the point that the enormous federal debt that Bush is building up for us will be paid off by today's 8-year-olds and all those little kids in the adult jobs, you know, the assembly line, working on a garbage truck and all that. CBS claims the ad didn't conform to its standards. Like horse farts. That's their standard, horse farts. Or little doggies that bite somebody's crotch. Or talking chimpanzees that suggest sex with a human. That is CBS's standards. Now, you know what's really at play here, and that is the deathly fear that CBS has from conservatives. Conservatives, Republicans, like horse fart jokes. They like to see dogs biting somebody's groin. They like to see monkeys putting the make on a woman. That's what Republicans like. What they don't like is Janet Jackson's bare breast or something that talks about Ronald Reagan. Now, Mr. Powell is known for what he puts out there. It's a lie, but what he puts out there is as sort of a laissez-faire attitude toward the airwaves. You know, he says, well, the market will dictate. The market will decide what's best. Well, if you go by what we saw at the halftime, other than the Janet Jackson thing, if you go by the commercials, apparently the market caters to old men who want to be young again, at least young in their penis, and young men who don't want to grow up. They want to drink beer and have horse farts. Any hope for good taste in that mess is something that CBS simply is not going to reach, are they? But by God, Michael Powell is going to investigate the exposure of Janet Jackson's breast.
There are people who are questioning our great TV God. Everybody be careful, everybody be very careful, stay tuned to your TV. There are ponies who are talking, there are wasters who read. There are people here who do not even know the TV.
About my country, I learned on TV. The man on the screen tells me who is our enemy. They say that we are free and we must fight to be number one. So when the army calls, I'll grab my TV, my car, and my gun. And the TV God watches over me, opens up my eyes, shows me how to...
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
emotions can keep you out of trouble on a wilderness adventure, but they can also trip you up. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Humans are naturally programmed to sense trouble and avoid danger in order to survive. Lawrence Gonzalez is the author of a new book called Deep Survival: Who Lives, Who Dies, and Why. He says environmental cues can automatically set off our fight or flee response.
The emotional system is one that's designed to produce automatic behavior that doesn't require any thought, such as running away from danger. And as you learn this stuff, you get a reading on whether your behavior produced a good or bad outcome. And the next time you approach a situation that's similar, you'll feel that it's good or bad. You won't really have to think about it. You'll get what most of us would call a gut feeling, like, uh-oh, something bad's going to happen.
Gonzalez says those messages can keep you out of harm's way. Ironically, they can also get you into trouble. Gonzalez says positive emotional bookmarks, as he calls them, can lead you to overlook risks. Skiers, for example, might be getting an emotional high while making runs down the slopes. Gonzalez says that can lead to dangerous behavior.
And then you go on the back of the mountain to get in some powder, and it's an avalanche zone, and the avalanche danger is high, and maybe even you know that. But because you're in this emotional state, and because the emotional bookmark tells you that you're going to get a really good feeling and a reward from it, you just go zooming off across the slope without really getting your cognitive abilities involved. You don't really think about it. You just do it. Next thing you know, you're buried under the snow.
In Deep Survival, Gonzalez says our emotional warning system often keeps us out of trouble, but he says we sometimes have to override it by thinking things through. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk. Not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune into Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're gonna kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Come on!
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
You're now entering a flying monkey-free zone. Here's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. Quick email here from Rick in Bellingham, Washington. Mike, the claims that the Super Bowl is family time is hilarious. Let's see. We're settling down to a game where hulking double Y chromosome Neanderthals are trying to tear each other apart over a ball, while nubile, tightly outfitted cheerleaders jiggle and writhe for drunken, screaming, swearing hordes of fans who often express their joy by puking on themselves and rioting in the streets after the game. Yeah, too bad Janet's boob ruined the family fun. God. Only in America. Well, of course, the Brits. Look what the Brits do with their abominable soccer games, you know, where they all riot. And it's not just the Brits. We may have this horror called the Super Bowl, but look what the Brits have to deal with. And the rest of the world, you know, with their soccer games where 7,000 people get trampled to death when somebody scores a goal. Oh, never mind. Before we go to your phone calls, I just got this. In Israel, a government critic there said that Israel was aware before the war against Iraq that Saddam Hussein did not possess weapons of mass destruction. And the reports are mixed. This says Israel did not inform the United States. However, a lawmaker there, Yossi Sarid, a member of the Foreign Affairs and Defense Committee, said yesterday that Israeli intelligence knew beforehand that Iraq had no weapons and misled President George Bush In contrast, a lawmaker from Prime Minister Ariel Sharon's Likud party said Israel had shared its doubts with the Americans. So you're getting two stories here. During the first Gulf War in 91, Iraq fired 39 Scud missiles at Israel, all with conventional warheads. And last year, Israel appointed this general, Amos Gilead, as its liaison with the population. Gilead filled the airwaves with dire warnings of possible chemical or biological attacks on Iraq. But Yossi Sarid, a member of the Foreign Affairs and Defense Committee, who represents opposition to the Likud party, said it was just a costly show, and Israeli intelligence knew that the threat was very, very, very limited. His words, very, very, very limited. Sarid said it was known in Israel that the story that weapons of mass destruction could be activated in 45 minutes was an old wives' tale. Israel didn't want to spoil Bush's scenario, and it should have. Israeli critics say the government of Sharon maintained the state of alert for its own political reasons to help galvanize public opinion in favor of harsh steps against the Palestinians. Now, another view came from Scott Ritter. Yes, our Scott Ritter. He told an Israeli newspaper this week that Israel knew for years that Iraq did not have weapons of mass destruction. Ritter said, quote, "The Israeli intelligence reached this conclusion many years ago. But despite this, the security establishment in Israel instructed citizens to open their gas masks, a move that cost Israel billions to replace." When Ritter says here, when Ritter met with Israeli intelligence officials in 1998, they told him that Iraq had been reduced to the number six threat, down from number one 4 years before. Ritter said, in the end, if the Israeli intelligence knew that Iraq didn't have weapons of mass destruction, the Israeli intelligence knew that Iraq didn't have weapons of mass destruction. So did the CIA, and so did British intelligence. So another country now involved in this. The lies. Is this not yet an impeachable offense? Huh? I realize Bush is going to have his ass handed to him on November 2nd by whoever the Democratic nominee is. But should we let him off the hook like this? Shouldn't all these people be impeached? Shouldn't they be charged with crimes against this country? What the hell is it going to take? God. Have I mentioned yet tonight how much I hate these people? But what the Republicans, these brain-dead morons, are focusing on, the Massachusetts Supreme Court ruled today that only full, equal marriage rights for gay couples, no civil unions, marriage would meet the ruling that they issued last November. Now, this means any doubts are now erased that the United States' first same-sex marriages will take place in the state beginning in mid-May. The court said the history of our nation has demonstrated that separate is seldom, if ever, equal. They said anything that allows for civil unions but falls short of marriage is, quote, unconstitutional, inferior, and discriminatory for same-sex couples. Well, yeah, duh. Did you see what's going on? Of course you do. Now, Massachusetts Supreme Court just ruled this today, and you can just bet your ass that the family council groups and freaks, the Phyllis Schlafly's and the Reverend Dobson's and the Robertson's and the Falwell's and Bush and the rest of these thugs are just running around with their sphincter muscles all tightened up tonight. Just, oh my God, the queers are going to get married. Oh, Jesus, preserve us. The queers are going to get married. Aha! Simple Scotty had something to say about that today at the press briefing. He did indeed. Several reporters jump on his ass, so to speak. One reporter says, Scott, the Supreme Court of Massachusetts ruled that only full rights for married couples were, for married gay couples were acceptable under that state's constitution. Does this mean now, Scott, that Bush believes it's necessary to move ahead with the U.S. constitutional amendment against queers?
The president has always believed that marriage is a sacred institution between a man and a woman. He is firmly committed to protecting and defending the sanctity of marriage. Today's court ruling is deeply troubling.
Go on.
Will he not support moving forward
with the Constitution?
It is a deeply troubling ruling. We will be reviewing the decision.
It's deeply troubling. Oh, my God. The queers are coming. The queers are coming. They want to get married. Oh, saints preserve us. We can't have the queers getting married. The sanctity of marriage? 60% of which wind up in divorce? How many times have you, gentle listener, been married? God! So that's your issue. There you go! There it is! The lies about death and destruction in Iraq? No. The tanking economy? No. The fact that Bush is a psychopath and an idiot? No. The fact that Rumsfeld and Cheney really run this country? No. What's the issue? The queers are going to get married! Oh, my God! And kind of in response to that, although what happened in Ohio happened yesterday, the Ohio legislature gave final approval yesterday to what's being described as one of the most sweeping bans on same-sex unions in the country. The law in Ohio now will also bar state agencies in that state from giving benefits to gay or non-gay domestic partners. These people are going crazy. They're just insane. In California, a state senator there, a Republican from Southern California who opposes gay marriage, says the homosexual community raised the issue and pushed it to the point that it's become a national issue. Well, you sons of bitches, we're going to legislate against you. We did it against the Negroes. We did it against anybody who gets in our way. Now the queers. Good Lord. Vice President of the Ohio Chamber of Commerce, Vice President for Governmental Affairs, said, although the bill does not prohibit a private sector employer from providing domestic partner benefits, there is concern that it may prove to be a vehicle now that will allow lawsuits to be brought against employers who do provide them. Uh-oh. Karen Holbrook, the president of Ohio State University, sent a letter to the psychotic governor of Ohio, Governor Taft, saying that the bill would put the college, Ohio State University, at what the president of that university calls, quote, a competitive disadvantage in recruiting personnel because most other Big Ten and elite research universities provide domestic partner benefits to employees. Ms. Holbrook, the president, Karen Holbrook, president of Ohio State, said, we are working very hard at Ohio State to create a culture of acceptance, tolerance, and dignity in every aspect of our institution. And this bill, as it now stands, will impede that progress. Well, Ms. Holbrook, hell, you ought to come down here to Georgia, where the state school superintendent has decided that, the universe is 5,000 years old, and if you teach evolution, you're an apostate bastard who's going to burn in hell, tortured by demons and devils for all eternity. I don't know. So the wedge issue of 2004 election, what will bring out, I'll tell you, if you're a Democrat, if you're a sane human being, if you're Republican, you are insane. If you are a religious conservative, you are worse than insane. You are psychopathic. If you are an independent or a Democrat or a liberal or a progressive, you've got to get out and vote this November, because every single one of these religious fanatics, these right-wing fanatics, will be voting because of the queer issue. The queers are coming. The queers are going to get married. Oh, my God. And we got to stop them. You know, Jesus is coming, and we have to stop the queers. Or something like that. If you are a sane human being, which means you are not a Republican, you are not a conservative, you are not a religious fanatic, if you are sane, for God's sake, go to the polls and vote November 2nd. At this point, even vote for Lieberman while he's out. Anybody but Bush. Anybody but these Republicans. The queers are coming. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. God. All right. I'm just going on and on here. The Bush's AWOL, almost done. Bush's AWOL thing. We've got some, do we have some sound on that, Kathy? No, I don't think we do. I've got from the Uniform Code of Military Justice the definition of desertion and the definition of AWOL for you a little bit later here. And also, it was in the New York Times. Thank God for the people. Who was it? It was SmokingGun.com that 4 years ago set up a website and said, please, America, will you look at what this little phony bastard has done? He executes hundreds of people in Texas, and he was AWOL and a deserter. He left his guard unit in Texas after getting into one that guaranteed that somebody else would go die and kill in his place. SmokingGun.com tried and tried and tried to get the attention of the American public, to get the media's attention, and the media refused. They're doing it now. It's coming in now. So again, maybe Peter Jennings had an agenda the other day when he brought this up with Wesley Clark, the Michael Moore question. Maybe Peter Jennings is not as much of a little ass kisser as I thought the night that we talked about this. Maybe Jennings had an ulterior motive. One can hope. All right, Matt is calling from. He's our bureau chief out in McCall, Idaho. Hey, Matt.
Good evening, Mike.
How you doing? Any smoke jumping tonight?
No smoke jumping tonight, man. I'm just making a tuna melt.
Oh, well, that's good. Be careful. Don't set the house on fire.
I'll try not to.
All right, Matt, what's up?
Well, I just wanted to touch base on a couple New York Times op-ed articles I've read recently. I actually got dialed into it on IndyMedia. But I don't know if you've heard about it. I was talking with Kathy about it. One of them, I don't know the authors, but it was... Recent January 28th, there was an article put out, Defrosting the Primaries. I don't know if you read that. And then today, there was another one, Keep the Primaries Going.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to read this towards the end, and what they're saying here, this guy, here's a quote, Representative Dennis Kucinich has every right to keep campaigning despite his minuscule vote tallies, but he should not be allowed to take up time in future candidate debates. Neither should Reverend Al Sharpton, who is running to continue running not to win. And then I kind of was like, okay, well, that's a week ago. Let's see if they're keeping up on this. And then I hear another one, and I believe it's a different author here, or a different editor.
Mm-hmm.
Towards the end of this thing, this is the Keep the Primaries Going Today. It says, again, quote, it is important that future debates be limited to only two or three people.
Yeah, the New York Times, great defenders of democracy and the free exchange of political ideas, aren't they?
It's ridiculous. It goes on saying, yeah. The time for inviting hopeless hopefuls is over. Voters have had a long, weary experience with crowded pseudo-debates featuring 7, 8, or 9 candidates.
Oh, let's put a stop to that as soon as we can.
I don't know. I just think it's ridiculous that these editors, I'm starting to believe, according to the registered voting block, anyways, the voters, that I can accept that I may be a part of a social minority if I'm supporting Kucinich, but to hear these guys, you know, say stuff like that even a social minority such as yourself or myself and all the Kucinich and Sharpton voters or supporters, and they want to shut that down and not give them their chance to be nationally televised kept their campaigns going to that point.
And look what they're doing to Dean. Look what they're doing to Howard Dean. Howard Dean, all of a sudden, according to media, I don't know. He's committed harakiri or something. He's fallen on his sword. He's eviscerated himself. Hold on a second, Matt. I got to take a break here. We'll come back and finish up here. You would think that Howard Dean didn't exist anymore. Dennis Kucinich to national media has never existed. And Al Sharpton was treated as a buffoon. But we'll be right back.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol is lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Yeah.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Now, the man conservatives love to hate. It's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. Back to Matt, our firefighter and McCall, Idaho bureau chief. Now, where were we, Matt?
Well, I was just venting on this whole televised debate thing. You know, it just sounds so darn familiar to me as to the last election cycle, and it happened to be, of course, Nader at that time. But to see it popping up again and rearing its ugly head is certainly frustrating. With this whole trying to shut, this minority out, this minority social view out of.
Dean is right. It's about picking up delegates, and he has half as many as Kerry right now. And look how the media are attempting to shut General Clark out of it, shut Dean out of it, shut Kucinich out of it. Dear God.
I hear it. I hear you, man. And I guess right now I'm just kind of, well, I'll tell you one thing. I'm crossing my fingers. I don't know a whole lot about the brokered convention that went down, 30-some years ago with, when was that? Was it 65 or?
You're talking about the Democratic convention where the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party challenged, which one are you talking about?
Well, I don't know much about it. I'm kind of just inside the Kucinich campaign. That's kind of the buzz right now. Hey, let's just get us there. If we've got, if people haven't garnered the delegates, then
right.
Apparently the process is somewhat wide open.
Yeah. There's a certain number of delegates needed to nominate, and what they try to do in these primaries is get enough people committed as delegates to individual candidates to shut the convention down. So it's a given when the convention opens who's going to be the nominee, and the rest of it is just for show, just for television. I think all these people should stay in the race and fight like sons of bitches. I don't care if it's Al Sharpton, even though he's being run, his whole campaign is being run by Republicans.
Yeah,
you know, at this point, I don't care. Let Kucinich, let Dean, let Wesley Clark, all of them keep going. If they've got the money, keep picking up these delegates, keep picking up these delegates. If the time comes when the convention happens and Kerry or Edwards or Dean or whoever does not have the necessary number of delegates, then let's, for the first time, as you point out, in 35 or 40 years, have a real convention. What the hell is the point of a convention?
I hear that. I know. And on that note, man, we're actually some news from my camp here. The Idaho, and we do have them, if you can believe this. I didn't know this. But we actually can go and vote for... We have a caucus system here in the state of Idaho, and I'm going to be going, and I'm garnering as much support as I can. I'm going to head out there.
Well, let us know.
I will.
Let us know what happens. Matt, we got a boogie. Thank you, sir.
Man.
All right, take care. Appreciate your call.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004.
My fellow Americans. This is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Who says Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
Why don't you have something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. John Kerry's chief rivals campaigned on the strength of their southern roots Wednesday, all but ceding Democratic presidential nomination contests in Michigan and Washington State in favor of a showdown closer to home. Kerry easily prevailed in 5 states among the 7 that voted Tuesday in primaries and caucuses, piling delegates into his own column at twice the rate of his nearest opponent and making it ever harder for his challengers to see any way to stop him. North Carolina Senator John Edwards won in South Carolina, the state of his birth, while Wesley Clark edged him in Oklahoma, victories that both candidates needed to keep going. Kerry won in Arizona, New Mexico, North Dakota, Missouri, and Delaware by large margins in the first national test of Democrats running for the nomination. Oregon voters resoundingly rejected a proposed $800 million tax hike, turning aside warnings about looming state budget cuts for schools and other key services. The proposed tax measure would have shielded schools from $285 million in cutbacks, while the Oregon Health Plan, which extends health coverage to poor people, now loses $182 million, meaning nearly 50,000 of the working poor would lose their coverage. The core of the tax measure was a temporary income tax surcharge. A household with the state's median $41,000 annual income and filing a joint return would have paid about $36 a year more in taxes. Oregonians haven't voted to raise the state income tax since it was adopted in 1930. The Village Voice reports that Roger Stone, a Republican operative who led the mob that shut down the Miami-Dade recount and helped make George W. Bush president in 2000, is financing, staffing, and orchestrating the presidential campaign of Reverend Al Sharpton. Sharpton denounced the Voice's inquiries as phony liberal paternalism, but he did not dispute that Stone had helped generate matching contributions and helped staff the campaign. More IE America Radio Network news after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
Looking for a little something special for your Valentine? How about a hissing cockroach? That's a suggestion from the folks at the Ross Park Zoo in Binghamton, New York. The zoo is running a Valentine's Day adoption program called Give Your Beauty a Beast. For $10, you can adopt a hissing cockroach for your sweetheart. The adoption includes a photo, cockroach fact sheet, and a free pass for your special friend to visit the little hisser. If a roach doesn't say I love you, the zoo has some romantic alternatives. There's a bearded dragon, a black vulture, and a bleeding heart dove. Chances are good that none of them will replace good old flowers and chocolate. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cassie, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
More than 500 American soldiers have now died in Bush's ongoing Iraqi war. Untold thousands of innocent Iraqi civilians have also died. Why? Because, Bush said, Saddam Hussein is a nasty guy who possessed horrible weapons that posed a mortal threat to the U.S. Bush and his top lieutenants screeched in unison that it was imperative to invade Iraq now and preempt the fiendish dictator before, as George so starkly put it, mushroom clouds rise over our country. The Bushites were absolute in their dire warnings that we had to go to war. George Bush, there is no doubt that the Iraq regime continues to possess and conceal some of the most lethal weapons ever devised. Dick Cheney, there is no doubt that Saddam Hussein now has weapons of mass destruction. Donald Rumsfeld, we know where they are. Colin Powell, leaving Saddam Hussein in possession of weapons of mass destruction for a few more months or years is not an option. They lied. Let that soak in. Our top national leaders flat out lied to we the people in order to put our young men and women into their deadly war. Early this year, with no White House comment, Bush and company quietly withdrew the 400-member weapons inspection team that they had put in Iraq to scour the country to find the weapons of horror that were the rationale for their invasion. No weapons or evidence of an active weapons program were turned up. Also, a January report from the Army's own War College scathingly concludes that Saddam posed no threat to the U.S. and that the invasion was, quote, a war of choice, not of necessity. This was promptly reinforced by a scholarly study from the Carnegie Endowment that found that Saddam had no weapons program that could pose an immediate threat and that, quote, administration officials systematically misrepresented the threat. This is Jim Hightower saying, this is no matter of innocent little lies. Their lies are stained with blood.
You hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah,
as you
I was
know.
Expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I
want to
see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
I'm going right there somewhere. I know I'll find you somehow, and somehow I'll return again.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
The words that I remember from my childhood still are true. That there's none so blind as those who will not see.
Welcome back. Seven and a half past the hour, actually. Got an email here from Chris Whitehouse, our Bangkok, Thailand bureau chief. He says, if marriage is a sacred institution, does that mean that all of us who got married in civil, non-sacred ceremonies are actually living in sin? Woohoo! Since I'm living in sin already, Chris writes, I'm going to go look at that picture of Janet Jackson's breast. Kathy, I guess that means you and I are living in sin. Well,
we were married by a reverend.
Yes,
the fact that he also had been convicted of homicide.
He'd been charged with homicide. He'd never been convicted.
Okay, the fact that he was charged with homicide right. Doesn't make our sacred union any less sacred.
That's true. This is the South, y'all. When we gets married down here, sometimes the preacher had been charged with murder.
Now you have to tell the story.
Well, he never went to divinity school. I mean, he's a reverend by virtue of, I don't know, he's recognized by the state of Georgia, but right. But it was more like a civil marriage. But he years ago, matter of fact, he was in the same theater company I was in, and he was working part time as a bouncer at a bar. George was, and There was an altercation that night. He had to put somebody out, and that somebody went and got a gun and grabbed a young woman in the parking lot of the club and put the gun to her head and threatened to kill her. And, of course, George was standing there watching all this. And then, if I remember, this is so long ago, my God, 25 years ago, but the bad guy that was holding the woman started jerking her around, hurting her throat, pulling her hair, manhandling her. And George, who at the time was licensed to carry a weapon, took his out and told the person to put the gun down and to release the woman. And he would not, and this went on for a few more minutes, and finally the guy pointed the gun at George, at which point George shot him through the head. Nothing happened to the girl except she was terrified, and she had been, you know, pushed and pulled and manhandled. And George was charged with murder. And when they had the preliminary hearing, they locked him up. When they had the preliminary hearing 2 days later, the courtroom was full of us who knew George and understood what had happened. About 400 of us showed up, and first time, only time I'm aware of in Georgia criminal justice history where someone charged with murder was released on his own recognizance. And then once the authorities had a chance to figure out what happened, all the charges were dropped. But here in the
South... And then he married us.
He did. He not only did he marry you and me, but he also performed the ceremony for one of my daughters and her husband and many other people. George teaches, I believe, an ethics course at Columbia Theological Seminary here in... here in the Atlanta area. Here's rule one in ethics. Rule one in ethics is if I have a gun and you have a gun, don't point your gun at me and threaten to kill me. Because ethically, my ass will then blow you away. Is that clear?
I think everyone you know is armed.
Say it again?
I think everyone you know is armed.
Well, if they're not, they should be. Again, I'm not, you know, these stories that I occasionally share with you, it sounds like we live in just some weird alternative universe down here, which, you know, Kathy and me, which is pretty much the truth. What can I say? All right, I want to get to this Kerry Bush military service. You know, my military record is better than your military record. We'll get to that in a second. Les is calling from Deadwood, Oregon. Les, welcome to the program.
Well, good morning. Good afternoon and good evening.
One of the three.
Clear in Atlanta. I've been here so long I nearly fell asleep.
I know. I'm sorry. Hey. You've been holding on for a full, almost an hour. I apologize.
But you know what? It has its advantages. I don't have to reboot the computer. You know that little gizmo that drops out all the time?
Oh, geez. I do know. Yeah.
Well, at any rate, from here in Oregon to way over there in Georgia, we say good evening to you. How many delegates do I have to have in order to be the Lane County Bureau Chief?
Well, we don't have one. All I have to do is ask.
Well, I'm on my knees begging.
Oh, no need to get on your knees begging. What is the name of your county?
Lane County.
Lane County. All right, Kathy, make note. Lane County Bureau Chief is now Les. Have to ask you, what happened with the referendum, the tax referendum yesterday? I understand your governor is saying that Oregon is going to close down. They just did this in Alabama a couple of months ago. Alabamians refused a reasonable tax hike in order to keep essential services open. Alabamians said no, hell no, and now Oregonians are saying the same thing. What's going on?
I have a theory about it.
All right.
Well, for one thing, all the Republicans are very angry people. They're very angry. They're full of hostility, and they would shoot themselves in the foot just so they could feel better.
Yeah.
And a lot of the people who are sort of in the middle of the road were very angry at the Republicans in the legislature. Now, Kulongoski's a Democrat.
Mm-hmm, right.
And the thing of
the
it was...
The governor.
Yeah, and the statewide over, like, both Grandpa and Grandma here voted yes, of course, for the simple reason we have a school district 14 miles down the river from us.
Mm-hmm.
And in that one little place, there's $250,000 that's going to come out of the budget. Now, you can imagine what that does to a small school district.
Yeah, yeah.
It makes it just like I'm almost in tears over it.
Yeah.
At any rate, you listen to, which I do because we have a ham radio station here, and the majority of those folks that are in hamland out there are conservative Republicans, and they're very nasty and mean.
Mm-hmm.
They don't think beyond their own little selfish needs. For example, one of them just this morning was complaining, even though that he didn't know the results of the voting yet. It just came out in the paper. He doesn't have a paper. And guess what? His medical bill, for his few bottles of pills, just went up $67.
That's a shame.
And he can't afford what it was before.
And he's one of the people who voted against.
And he's one of the people that voted for Bush. And he's one of the people that used to be a Democrat, but because of the way Clinton was or whatever, the rest of the group were all haunting about, and he didn't want to be by himself. They have this battered woman syndrome going for him.
Well, yes. They really do. I do understand that. And my heart goes out to genuine battered women. And I have a very firm belief, and that is the first time a man hits a woman, whether it's in the confines of a marriage or not, he goes to jail immediately, and they can discuss how long he'll be in jail later, but lock the son of a bitch up. Now, as far as these Republicans who are suffering battered women syndrome or an equivalent to that, I say, well, let's just keep voting Republican. Just keep it up. Today you can't afford your prescriptions. Tomorrow you won't be able to afford your food. The day after you won't be able to find any water that's safe to drink. And I hope these people just choke to death on the Republican filth and swill that is swirling across this country. I have, I have no heart, no mercy. This is why I'm a condemned sinner. I have no heart, no mercy for Republicans. I don't care if every damn one of them would step off the planet into some abyss somewhere. I loathe them. I hate them. They disgust me. Now, I don't recommend people to carry this emotional burden like I do. I think most people should have more of a Buddhist or Zen attitude, like my good friend Peter Werbe, who used to be on this network. Peter had a Zen attitude of it's kind of letting the universe take care of itself and not to get caught up in rage. And I wish I were that evolved of a personality, but I'm not. I believe that that rage and contempt and disgust and hatred are probably pretty good emotions if they're targeted and focused right. So I have no mercy for these people. As bad as it gets, I hope it gets worse for Republicans. I hope they just scream bloody murder. I hope their children can't go to school because there are no more Pell Grants. I hope their wives lose their jobs because a woman's place is in the home. I hope they lose their Medicare coverage. I just hope it gets so awful for these people that never again will they vote Republican.
Well, that's the way it is out here in the West. And listen, the areas, first off, I want to say hi to Matt there in Idaho. And I came to Oregon by way of the Smoke Jumper School in Missoula, Montana, and we fought fires in northern Idaho, and then I ended up in Oregon here.
Oh, you know Matt?
No, I don't know him, but I just want to say
good evening. But you're both smoke jumpers.
And I'm not a jumper.
Oh.
I was a ground troop blister rust camp, and we were near Coeur d'Alene out in the White mm-hmm. Pine Forest there.
So you guys...
At any rate, he's not to give up because the revolution is on, and whether we're angry or not, we need to have steely resolve.
That's true.
And we've got a little deal going in here in Deadwood. As a matter of fact, the folks of Deadwood Creek, we just had a concert up there the other night. Ann Feeney, you know, the justice singer who travels the world over, was up there, and one of the songs she said, "Have you gone or been to jail for justice lately?" And most of us up there feel that it would be worth it. We're just going to stand our ground and dig in and don't give up. And it's anybody but Bush.
I hear
that.
I hear that. Les, thank you so much. Glad to have you on board as the Bureau Chief. I hope you call in again.
Yep. Good evening.
All right, sir. Take care. Kathy, we've got to do this. You've got to bring this up. Laura the Unloved, Laura Schlesinger is on MSNBC here on Scarborough, talking about Janet Jackson.
Really?
Now, this is
harsh
a woman
behavior.
This is a woman who flashed her entire body in obscene photos all over the Internet. Let's listen to a little bit of Laura the Unloved.
Commentaries about how our society is being degraded and there are no values and that we don't mean anything, we don't stand for anything, we don't cherish godly things, we don't cherish our bodies, our souls, and it has an impact on our children. So for the people who say it doesn't mean anything, they're very short-sighted.
Alan Thicke, I'm a father of three. My two boys invited a lot of their friends over, and we spent the first half talking about...
Okay, that's enough. I just thought we could listen to some of Laura the Unloved. Can you imagine Laura Schlesinger on television talking about Janet Jackson's bare breast and how it's an indication of the degenerate status of this society when Laura Schlesinger, while she was married to somebody else, stripped off and gave the most explicit gynecological crotch shot you can imagine to her boyfriend? Oh, God! Do I hate Laura Schlesinger? Yes! Yes! I know I'm sick.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple. Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show, where we serve you food with attitude, plus a heaping helping of humor.
And a playful pinch of romance.
It's all about food, family, and fun.
We'll help you juggle kids, kitchen, career, health, and relationships with passion and commitment.
We cover everything from new product reviews and consumer information to quick, simple, and easy recipes just for the two of you.
Plus parenting tips and tricks.
Cooking advice to save time and money.
Nutrition news and healthier living.
Entertainment options for the whole family.
And how to tag team manage kids, career, life, and relationships.
Plus, I'll tell you how to train your in-laws so they don't become outlaws.
So tune in every Sunday from 12 noon to 2 right here for the Cooking Couple Show.
And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, young one, two for when you.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
No subliminal messages for you to misunderestimate. It's Mike Malloy. He's commonsensical.
Yeah, it is really bizarre if you're watching MSNBC on Joe Scarborough's program. Here's a guy who is an unindicted killer. Alan Thicke, I don't know why Alan Thicke is on. And then Laura Schlesinger, a woman who's... there's probably nothing about her body that the entire world hasn't seen, and very explicit crotch shots and all sorts of explicit positions all over the internet. And here she is lecturing about Janet Jackson's breast and the effect it's going to have on our children. Oh, my God. Can you imagine her son finally finding mommy's pictures on the internet? What's that going to do to him? Oh, God, I hate this hypocrisy. It just makes me want to hurl, you know? Hurl? In March 1969, John Kerry, a 25-year-old Navy lieutenant, reached down from the boat he was piloting in Vietnam's treacherous Bayhap River, and in a spray of enemy fire pulled a soldier out of the water to safety. For his valor, Mr. Kerry won the Bronze Star with a Combat V and his third Purple Heart. That very same month, George W. Bush was on far safer ground in Valdosta, Georgia, learning to fly a plane that was scheduled for extinction for the Texas Air National Guard, a coveted post that greatly reduced any risk that he would be sent to Vietnam, and a position that he might not have attained had his father not been a member of Congress. Mr. Bush went on to miss a number of National Guard training sessions. Mr. Kerry went on to fight a war. That's how the New York Times starts this article about Kerry and Bush. I'm just surprised. The two writers, Elizabeth Boomiller and David Halfinger, if I were they, I would certainly be careful opening your mail, folks. You're going to find castor beans or... anthrax or something for writing something that explicit. Democrats are beginning to understand that in order to fight the Bush machine, you've got to be willing to kick in the crotch with the truth. I'm not saying make stuff up like the Republicans. Don't ever sink to the level of these slimy Republicans, these slimy conservatives. Don't ever, I would recommend in my ethics class, don't ever sink to that level. But use the truth. Use the truth as a bludgeon against these people. And hope that the American public gets it. Because in order to get through this cement cast of lies and deceptions that the Bush crime family has put on this country, it's going to require battering rams of truth. And one of the battering rams, and Kerry certainly is qualified to use this, is the difference between Kerry and Bush's military service. Now, whether you agree with the military service or not, whether you agree, and Kerry wound up despising our atrocities in Vietnam. Let's be real about that. But the fact is, George W. Bush is the one acting as though he had something to do with Vietnam. The cowardly little son of a bitch did nothing except have his daddy put him into a TAN, or a Texas Air National Guard unit, where he then deserted. Now, what's the definition of deserted? Because everybody's talking about this. Well, Ed in Florida sent this to me. Here's from the UCMJ, Universal Uniform Code of Military Justice, desertion. This is Section 885, Article 85, desertion. Oops. Well, there's music. That's music. We will come back with desertion in a moment. Stay with us.
Beside the edge of the waves, to fear. She says,
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Your emotions can keep you out of trouble on a wilderness adventure, but they can also trip you up. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Humans are naturally programmed to sense trouble and avoid danger in order to survive. Lawrence Gonzalez is the author of a new book called Deep Survival, Who Lives, Who Dies, and Why. He says environmental cues can automatically set off our fight or flee response.
The emotional system is one that's designed to produce automatic behavior that doesn't require any thought, such as running away from danger. And as you learn this stuff, you get a reading on whether your behavior produced a good or bad outcome. And the next time you approach a situation that's similar, you'll feel that it's good or bad. You won't really have to think about it. You'll get what most of us would call a gut feeling, like, uh-oh, something bad's going to happen.
Gonzalez says those messages can keep you out of harm's way. Ironically, they can also get you into trouble. Gonzalez says positive emotional bookmarks, as he calls them, can lead you to overlook risks. Skiers, for example, might be getting an emotional high while making runs down the slopes. Gonzalez says that can lead to dangerous behavior.
And then you go on the back of the mountain to get in some powder, and it's an avalanche zone, and the avalanche danger is high, and maybe even you know that. But because you're in this emotional state, and because the emotional bookmark tells you that you're going to get a really good feeling and a reward from it, you just go zooming off across the slope without really getting your cognitive abilities involved. You don't really think about it. You just do it. Next thing you know, you're buried under the snow.
In Deep Survival, Gonzalez says our emotional warning system often keeps us out of trouble, but he says we sometimes have to override it by thinking things through. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, this is a commercial for a major radio network. We can do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour, 4 years ago when I was still in Chicago working at WLS, and we were talking about Bush's terrible record in Texas with people from the nation, and then his record as a deserter. And I'm drawing a blank, and I apologize on the man's name, but he said, you know, I've just put up a website called thesmokinggun.com. And this guy went out of his way to dig for the information, and he found the necessary documentation. He proved it 4 years ago. Mainstream media knew about this story 4 years ago, but they decided to ignore it and to push Bush down the throats of not just this country, but the entire world, and damn them for it, damn them forever for not being honest about the Bush candidacy, about what a lying, sneaking, thieving little bastard he was, his whole family. I mean, this is a sick, sick, murderous family, and I'm just so angry with the media about this. But the Uniform Code of Military Justice is very clear in their definitions. Desertion: any member of the armed forces who, 1, without authority, goes or remains absent from his unit, organization, or place of duty with intent to remain away therefrom permanently. 2, any member of the armed forces who quits his unit, organization, or place of duty with intent to avoid hazardous duty or to shirk important service. Or 3, any member of the armed forces who, without being regularly separated from one of the armed forces, enlists or accepts an appointment in the same or another arm of the armed forces, without fully disclosing the fact that he has not been regularly separated or enters any foreign armed service except blah, 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 is guilty of desertion. So desertion: any member of the armed forces who, without authority, goes or remains absent from his unit. Hello? Now, absence without leave. Any member of the armed forces who, without authority, 1, fails to go to his appointed place of duty at the time prescribed, 2, goes from that place, or 3, absents himself or remains absent from his unit, organization, or place of duty at which he is required to be at the time prescribed, shall be punished as a court-martial may direct. Now, I'm not the smartest guy on the block or the brightest bulb in the marquee, and I admit that, but by God, I can understand English. There is no doubt George Bush is guilty of being AWOL. There's a minimal amount of doubt in my head that he's also not guilty of desertion. So again, maybe Peter Jennings was just prying the lid off this can of whip-ass where it concerned Bush and his miserable military record, non-existent. John Kerry said yesterday, 2 days ago, that Bush and the U.S. military should settle questions about whether Bush completed his military service requirement in Texas Air National Guard. Kerry said, blah, 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 the matter of Bush's military service record was a question I think remains open. Kerry said that Kerry, lacked the facts to make a judgment about it. Kerry said, it's not up to me to talk about them or to question them at this point. I don't even know what the facts are, but I think it's up to the president and the military to answer these questions. Well, Kerry, this is one of the reasons I have a problem with you. This is one of the reasons Bart Kopp calls you a pink tutu Democrat. This is one of the reasons I hope you grow a pair, pal, because if you don't, Karl Rove and Dick Cheney and George Bush are going to turn you into hamburger meat, okay? You better stand up on your hind legs, buddy, and say, look, the son of a bitch deserted. He is a deserter. While I was over there killing people and people trying to kill me, George W. Bush was hiding from his military obligation. You better do it, John. You think these people are, I know you and George are both skull and bones. I know you're both Yaleys. I know you both, either by virtue of where you were born or by virtue of whom you married, you're both wealthy, you're both rich, you're both white, you both, you both are hip and cool where it concerns the right contacts and the right clothes to wear and the right places to go. But John Kerry, if you want to be president, dude, you better develop a pair real quick, because George Bush and Karl Rove will cut you to pieces. They will make your time in the military seem as though you were serving on the side of the Viet Cong. Don't you understand that? Look what they did to Max Cleland. Jesus, what's wrong with these people? So when John Kerry says, well, I don't know the facts, go to smokinggun.com, John. Listen to this program, John. Go to takebackthemedia.com, John. Go to Common Dreams. Go a million places if you don't have the facts. The facts are there. This is what makes me nervous as a whore in Sunday school about this guy, about Kerry. Kerry says he lacks the facts to make a judgment about accusations that Bush ended his military commitment prematurely. Well, John, instead of saying you lack the facts, take an afternoon and get the facts and then beat the Christ out of him with the facts. Can you do that, John? Can you do that, Senator Kerry? Because if you can't or you won't, you're toast. If you get the nomination, you don't have a prayer. You don't have a chance. Who else sent this to me? I don't know. If you don't put your name on, I can't credit you. Hey, Mike, you probably know this, so it might be redundant. Each military unit keeps a daily morning report that must be signed by the CO. If a member is AWOL for 30 days, his or her name is dropped from the roll. That person is then classified as a deserter. His or her personal belongings are listed, boxed up, sealed, and stored at the base quartermaster's warehouse, and then shipped to that person's home of record address. The FBI is notified, and an arrest warrant is issued. If a member fails to repair, is how it's stated, it is noted on the morning report that that person is subject to an Article 15 under the Universal Code of Military Justice. If a member is AWOL, it is noted on the morning report for 30 days as such. AWOL is punishable by summary court-martial. Desertion is very difficult to prove in court, for the charge is leaving one's assigned place of duty with the intention never to return. However, if one keeps his or her military ID, the uniform, the dog tags, and does not do a name change, or voluntarily places oneself under control of the military or a government official, then that person cannot be convicted of desertion. My correspondent says, I quit the military in 1959 after 11 years of active duty. As for Bush, he is clearly a deserter, and his Air Guard unit morning report will have shown it as such. You can get him for failure to repair and for being AWOL, but you can't prove desertion in a court of law. The FBI should have the arrest warrant in their files, but a dollar to a donut, they won't release it. Now, failure to repair, definition. In the Air Force, failure to repair is a crime. No, this is not a definition. I guess it means the same as report. This was in a case listed in Military Justice, and I guess this is a commander speaking. In the Air Force, failure to repair is a crime. I assure you that many airmen have been given an Article 15 and court-martialed for similar misconduct. This unit, this wing, and indeed the entire Air Force cannot function when members become undependable. You have proven that you cannot always be depended on, and consequently you have damaged this unit's mission capabilities. I expect you to work diligently at redeeming yourself and proving that you are dependable. Now, I don't know what that's about, but the term failure to repair is used in that explanation. So, there you have it. If anybody has any doubts, especially people who served in the military, people who served in the military and understand what the rules are, know damn good and well that George Bush is AWOL at best, a deserter at worst. Every single man or woman who served in the military knows this, knows this. And yet we are told that military people just love him. Well, that's a lie. Military people do not love him. Democrats.com, Bob Furtick over at Democrats.com says it's sublime to watch Bush and company lie about something as simple as whether Bush went AWOL or not in 72. The facts are clear. With 2 full years of flying duty remaining, Bush cleared his base, Ellington Air Force Base in Houston, on May 15, 1972. After that, he never reported for another drill. He disobeyed specific orders, was legally AWOL, and legally a deserter. Of course, he never was prosecuted because his name is Bush. But that doesn't change the facts. Bush could easily put this issue to rest by releasing his full military records, as Democrats.com and Senators Kerry, Inouye, and Cleland called for in 2000. He could also find eyewitnesses who saw him performing his duty either in Alabama in 72 or in Texas in 73. We know he has looked. His failure to find a single eyewitness is the ultimate indictment. Sooner or later, irrefutable proof will emerge that Bush never attended a drill after May 72. And when that proof emerges, all of the denials below will be exposed as pure lies. And then Bob lists a bunch of lies here. Does anybody have any doubt? Do you have any doubt, Truth Seeker, that Bush is AWOL or a deserter? And you folks in the military who, I know you're not, they're not listening to this program, the ones I'm addressing now, that'd be right-wingers in the military. I don't care how gung-ho you are, how much you want to kill and blow things up and smash stuff. I really don't care. For Christ's sake, vote Democratic. At least don't be a hypocrite. Don't be a hypocrite. While you sign up to go kill folks and possibly be killed and break things up, that's cool. But at least don't be a hypocrite. At least understand that the man and admit that the man sending you to smash things, break things up, bomb stuff, and kill people is a coward. And he's sending you to do that kind of work, work that he would not do. So do what you have to do if you've decided the military is your career. But for God's sake, if you're going to exercise your right to vote, would you vote Democratic? Would you vote for John Kerry? Would you vote for Howard Dean? Would you, well, all right, would you vote for Wesley Clark or John Kerry? They're vets. They did not hide. They did not lie. They did not have their daddy get them into a champagne unit. Can you do that if you're a military man or woman? Just this once, will you not buy into the filthy lie that Republicans or conservatives have your interests at heart? They do not. Could you? Could you guys and girls, just this one time? Now, of course, the Republicans are losing it. They are saying that John Kerry is guilty of using, get this, smear tactics for saying that Bush should answer questions about his service record. Oh, my God. Well, like I say, the fact that the New York Times is talking about it, the fact that CBS is talking about it, the fact that ABC is talking about it, the fact that CNN is talking about it, let's see you try to hide your boy on this one, Carl. Let's see you try to hide your boy on this one. Ralph Reed, this hypocritical Christ killer who used to head the Christian Coalition and now heads the Georgia Republican Party and is also Bush's campaign Southeast Regional Chairman, says all this talk is gutter politics. Reed said, we're absolutely convinced the American people will reject these smear tactics. You know, Satan's waiting for your little candy-ass-looking face. Do you know that, Ralph? You are going to burn in the hottest spot in hell eventually, but while you're here on Earth, we have to deal with you. Last Tuesday, then, Kerry fired back on Fox News. He subtly, this is how the Times puts it, he subtly slashed at Mr. Bush by implying that joining the National Guard was just another way of dodging the draft. Kerry said, quote, I've never made any judgments about any choice somebody made about avoiding the draft. He's referring to Vietnam. About going to Canada, going to jail, being a conscientious objector, going into the National Guard. Those are choices people make. Well, see, if Kerry is going to take that candy-ass approach, like I said, and I'm not the brightest bulb in the marquee, I'm not the smartest guy in talk radio, but if that's the tactic that Kerry's going to take, well, gee, I don't know. You know, people make choices. If George Bush made a choice to go into a Texas Air National Guard champagne unit so that I would have to take a bullet or somebody else, I don't know. If that's what you're going to do, John, you're toast. You're toast. You might as well hang it up. Go on back to Massachusetts and be the senator, because these people, by the time this campaign is over, they are going to make it appear, like I said, that you were on the side of the VC. They are going to turn you into a North Vietnamese sympathizer. They are going to link you to Jane Fonda. They are going to, they're just going to take your entire military record and destroy it, just like they did to Max Cleland with this little candy-ass freak, Saxby Chambliss, who unseated Max Cleland here in Georgia. That's what they're going to do to you, John. You better toughen up, John. You better fight, John. You better do what you were trained to do in the military. No mercy, no quarter. Just get the job done. You know how to do that, John. You know how to do that. And I will guarantee you that these thugs, these killers in the Republican Party, are more dangerous to you and this nation than any VC ever was.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
This is Dave.
Hey there.
Dave has a problem.
Maybe you have the problem understanding that we can be under attack at any time.
Dave suffers from TMRWM, otherwise known as too much or right wing amidiitis, or something like that.
The alarm's at orange now. What does that mean? Where's my chart?
But Dave's not alone.
Another Saddam tape. He's still alive.
There are millions of Americans all over the United States suffering from TMRWM.
Oh, there's weapons of mass destruction there. Somewhere. They'll find them.
Symptoms of TMRWM include insomnia, irritability, suspecting more than three people a day of being a terrorist.
That guy right there looks like one. So does this kid. You're not fooling me, buddy.
And much, much more. But there is a cure.
There is?
You can get the best in progressive talk radio weekdays on the only progressive talk radio network there is, IE America Radio Network. Get more information at ieamericaradio.com. Let's save our country, one American at a time.
Thank you, IE America.
Let go of me, Dave.
Sorry.
The Tom Hartman Show.
Yeah, we're going to catch him doing something right. Senator Bob Graham of Florida said today that he will file a bill to prohibit charging service members for meals while they are hospitalized as a result of injuries or illnesses suffered while in combat or training for combat. Graham says, how can we justify spending billions of dollars on no-bid contracts to rebuild Iraq, then turn around and charge an injured soldier $8.10 a day for meals while he's being treated for war injuries? Marine Staff Sergeant Bill Merwin of Nevada, he was billed $243 for his meals while he was in the hospital because his foot got blown off in Iraq. Ain't privatization wonderful? So Bob Graham says he's going to put into Congress a law saying no more. It's against the law to charge service members for their meals. Thank you, Bob Graham. Well done.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Seekers celebrate. Right wingers beware. More of Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. Got an email here. I just deleted it, so I forgot to get the person's name. But the email was talking about, you know, America doesn't care about Vietnam, Mike. You know, it's 30 years ago. There's probably some truth to that. The writer also said America doesn't care about whether or not George deserted his unit. And then the writer went on to say America didn't care when Clinton was a deserter or whatever. I don't have it right in front of me. And of course, I should have answered it. I guess I'm answering it now because I'm sure the person is listening. Clinton was not a deserter. Clinton did not go AWOL. Clinton did not try to get into a Texas or an Arkansas Air National Guard unit. What Clinton did was apparently, I guess, I don't know, was send a letter to his draft board that indicated he did not respect what the military was doing in Vietnam. He didn't want any part of it. But when tried to be a draft evader, like millions of American men did back in that period of time, which is not to justify, just to explain it. And when he ran out of whatever tricks he was using, Clinton said, okay, that's it. The number that he got in the lottery was so high, Clinton was never called. I'm not defending anybody's record or non-record for service in the military. I've got real ambiguous feelings about serving in the military, especially in the last 30 years, given how the military is totally bastardized and mistreated and used by the politicians of both parties. And then how when people get out of the military and come back, they're treated like scum by the government, like they don't exist. So I've got real ambiguous feelings about it. Any children that I've ever had, I have strongly advised none of my kids reached age of consent when there was a draft, so it wasn't that much of an issue. But I told all of my kids, don't be a fool. Do not go into the military. Not because I don't respect the military, but because the people who control the military now do not respect it and will use you as a piece of cannon fodder. I hate to use a cliche, but that's exactly the truth. And with these thugs in the White House now, oh, my God, what about the 525 families who have given a son or a daughter or a husband or a brother or a sister or an aunt or an uncle to this ungodly war in Iraq? How do those families feel tonight as they try to process the information that Bush had their son or daughter, husband or wife killed for no reason?
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004.
Brendan was
spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of a brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. John Kerry's chief rivals campaigned on the strength of their southern roots Wednesday, all but ceding Democratic presidential nomination contests in Michigan and Washington State in favor of a showdown closer to home. Kerry easily prevailed in five states among the seven that voted Tuesday in primaries and caucuses, piling delegates into his own column at twice the rate of his nearest opponent and making it ever harder for his challengers to see any way to stop him. Senator Joe Lieberman last night ended a presidential bid that he ran on his own terms but that never found a foothold with the voters. He was the candidate with the wrong message at the wrong time, supporters said, and his more moderate views didn't connect with the left-of-center Democrats desperate for a fiery crusader to beat Republican George W. Bush. Oregon voters resoundingly rejected a proposed $800 million tax hike, turning aside warnings about looming state budget cuts for schools and other key services. The proposed tax measure would have shielded schools from $285 million in cutbacks, while the Oregon Health Plan, which extends health coverage to poor people, now loses $182 million, meaning nearly 50,000 of the working poor would lose their coverage. A new link is emerging between letters containing the poison ricin found in mail facilities that serve the White House and a South Carolina airport, as federal investigators seek to identify the letter or parcel that may have carried ricin into a Senate mailroom. A senior law enforcement official speaking Tuesday on condition of anonymity said investigators had established strong links between the South Carolina and White House letters. The letter found in October at a postal facility serving the Greenville-Spartanburg International Airport was signed by someone who called himself Fallen Angel, as was a letter found in November at a facility that processes mail for the White House. Both letters complained about new regulations requiring certain amounts of rest for truck drivers. Both also contained ricin. More IE America Radio Network news after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
Looking for a little something special for your Valentine? How about a hissing cockroach? That's a suggestion from the folks at the Ross Park Zoo in Binghamton, New York. The zoo is running a Valentine's Day adoption program called Give Your Beauty a Beast. For $10, you can adopt a hissing cockroach for your sweetheart. The adoption includes a photo, cockroach fact sheet, and a free pass for your special friend to visit the little hisser. If a roach doesn't say I love you, the zoo has some romantic alternatives. There's a bearded dragon, a black vulture, and a bleeding heart dove. Chances are good that none of them will replace good old flowers and chocolate. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cassie, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
More than 500 American soldiers have now died in Bush's ongoing Iraqi war. Untold thousands of innocent Iraqi civilians have also died. Why? Because, Bush said, Saddam Hussein is a nasty guy who possessed horrible weapons that posed a mortal threat to the U.S. Bush and his top lieutenants screeched in unison that it was imperative to invade Iraq now and preempt the fiendish dictator before, as George so starkly put it, mushroom clouds rise over our country. The Bushites were absolute in their dire warnings that we had to go to war. George Bush, there is no doubt that the Iraq regime continues to possess and conceal some of the most lethal weapons ever devised. Dick Cheney, there is no doubt that Saddam Hussein now has weapons of mass destruction. Donald Rumsfeld, we know where they are. Colin Powell, leaving Saddam Hussein in possession of weapons of mass destruction for a few more months or years is not an option. They lied. Let that soak in. Our top national leaders flat out lied to we the people in order to put our young men and women into their deadly war. Early this year, with no White House comment, Bush and company quietly withdrew the 400-member weapons inspection team that they had put in Iraq to scour the country to find the weapons of horror that were the rationale for their invasion. No weapons or evidence of an active weapons program were turned up. Also, a January report from the Army's own War College scathingly concludes that Saddam posed no threat to the U.S. and that the invasion was, quote, a war of choice, not of necessity. This was promptly reinforced by a scholarly study from the Carnegie Endowment that found that Saddam had no weapons program that could pose an immediate threat and that, quote, administration officials systematically misrepresented the threat. This is Jim Hightower saying, this is no matter of innocent little lies. Their lies are stained with blood.
I get things in my mind and I say, let's try this.
Hey,
and
here's Nancy in the background.
Nancy.
Oh,
hey, Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Oh. Hello.
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 Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back, 7:30 past the hour. Okay, I better read this, or Victor's going to come through the email here and just beat my ass. Mike, this is the third email that I'm sending you pertaining to this matter, the Bush AWOLer deserter. I will repeat that every one of you that say that G.W. Bush is AWOL or deserter are all wrong. Participation by reservists is governed by AR-135-91, which I am attaching. Please do me a favor and read it. By reading it, you will then understand that the participation requirements of reservists and active duty personnel are different. I will tell you again that I'm qualified to talk about this matter since I was a military technician with Army Reserve for 21 years and processed hundreds of soldiers for unsatisfactory participation, including officers. When you read the regulation, you will understand that George W. Bush was an unsatisfactory participant and not AWOL or a deserter. I know that is hard for... I'm not sure what the sentence means, Victor. I know that is hard for some people to understand, I guess, that never served in the reserves or active to understand this matter, but I can, since I served 11 years on active duty and 21 in the U.S. Army Reserve. Trust me, George W. was just an unsatisfactory participant. And then he signs off, anybody but Bush. All right, Victor, I don't disbelieve you. On the other hand, and I understand we weren't in a declared war, so I guess different rules apply there too. Let's put quotes around the word AWOL and quotes around the word deserter. Then, would that work? To me, George Bush was a, quote, deserter, close quote. To me, George Bush, and I would think to most thinking people, including you, Victor, that George went, quote, AWOL, end quote, okay, without using the terms as they are defined in the universal, the Code of Military Justice. Would that work, Victor? And the file you sent me is PDF, and I can't open it because I have a crappy, tacky little laptop. If you anything you want me to read, you have to send it to me so in a Word file so I can just open it and read it. All right. Kevin is calling from Tampa, Florida. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Mike. How you doing tonight?
Doing fine. How are you?
Okay. I wanted to bring something up that I heard Tom Hartman say, I think, one day last week. And it caught my attention when he said it. And as this discussion on Bush's military service is going on,
mm-hmm.
it maybe he's made some sense. Tom makes a lot of sense. But
uh-huh.
He said he heard, I think he said he heard a theory that Peter Jennings actually was trying to get it out about Bush's military service.
You know where he heard it. I guess he heard it on this program.
He heard it on your program.
I don't know. We talked about that, I don't know, the first Monday? Or yeah,
I don't know. Tom was talking about it, and he said that, you know what I'm going to say then, that
right.
possibly Jennings was saying
it. Right, we even brought, you must have missed last hour, because we brought it up last hour.
Oh, I did. I was at the Dean meetup meeting tonight.
Yeah, how did that go?
Oh, pretty good, pretty good.
How many people showed up in Tampa?
Tampa has 13 meetups.
Uh-huh.
And at ours, I guess there were about 20.
Super.
Last month, there were about 27, 28.
How's everybody's attitude?
Good.
That's good.
And in fact, this Saturday, there's a, the Dean campaign is having a national event on Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern in the correlating times across the country.
Yeah, yeah.
There are going to be Dean supporters, excuse me, out on street corners with signs saying, I'm Howard Dean's special interest.
Yeah, yeah. I read about that the other day. Somebody sent me, I guess it has to do with not Dean meetups here in Georgia, but someplace around the country, I'm Howard Dean's special interest.
Yeah, it's going to be cool. All over the country.
That's good. That's great.
At the same time.
That's good. Yeah, well, regarding the Peter Jennings, Wesley Clark, Michael Moore, George Bush thing, yeah, we talked about it last hour and we talked about it earlier this week. So I would imagine Tom either got it from his own sources or because I don't think Tom listens to this program. You know, he's probably busy this late at night, but he probably got it from the same source we did. But, yeah, we covered it. And
it's a neat theory.
Yes, it is.
And since I heard it,
I'm beginning to believe it.
It's beginning to get out every place.
I know. We came on the air that night and just ripped Peter Jennings a new body orifice. Because of what we, and by we, I mean Kathy and I, considered to be kind of the smarmy, condescending way he phrased the question to Wesley Clark. And it was like, oh, come on, Peter, for Christ's sake, you of all people, you're going to play this game like you were on Fox News Channel? And giving it second thought and third thought and fourth thought, there's a chance, outside chance, yes, but a chance. Maybe Jennings accomplished exactly what he wanted because now it's in the New York Times, it's on CBS, it's all over the place.
Yeah. You know, there's one thing that came up in the Dean meeting tonight, which I don't know if you saw. I'm sure you must have. Where Diane Sawyer came out and made
with the microphone thing.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Right.
And I even read the article on it, and even Roger Ailes said that Fox played it up too much.
Right.
Which really floored me when I read that.
Yeah, well...
But I'm wondering, why is that not being talked about on the news?
Because that would require criticism of news-gathering organizations... and they're not going to criticize themselves.
But one of their major TV anchors
Doesn't matter.
The one saying it.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You have to understand that media in this country, especially where it concerns news gathering, for the most part, are truly, truly whores. You've been to that website, mediawhoresonline.com.
Well, I know that.
Right, okay. They're truly whores. And they're high-priced, high-paid whores. They keep America ignorant, and they are paid millions and millions of dollars a year, all of them, to keep America as ignorant as possible.
Yeah, they want to talk about Janet Jackson's boob and not the boob in the White House.
There you go. There you go. Hey, Kevin, thanks for checking in.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, sir, take care. I'm just thinking about I'm not laughing at Kevin. I'm thinking about my colleague Tom Hartman. He takes our bumper music. He takes our show topics. He tries to get angry in his spots. What's Tom going to do March 1st? I love Tom. We met Tom in New York, didn't we, Kevin? He's a great guy. Really, really a good guy. Really like him. When you do this, you know, when you're only one of maybe six liberals on the air in the United States of America, you're going to use each other's material inadvertently, probably more than just frequently. So I remember Peter and I used to when Peter used to be on noon to three and I would be on 3 to 6. And invariably, I would come in here at, you know, like 1 o'clock in the afternoon and, to do my part to get the program ready. And I'd punch on the internet and listen to Peter for a couple hours. And invariably, Peter would be sitting there doing exactly the topics that I had set up to do that day, you know, and I used to think, oh no, damn, I gotta be on 9 to midnight. But, Peter would do the same topics, I was gonna do. So when it came my turn in the barrel, so to speak, you know, I would think, well, my style, my approach is different from Peter's. Peter's is the Zen liberal talk show host. I'm the psychopath who you know, chews the furniture and tears the drapery. So our difference in styles kind of set us apart, even though we were talking about the same thing. So I would imagine Hartman, who is very... Hartman's very educated, very laid back. He's an author. He's a lecturer. He's a talk show host now. He's refined. Tom is Tom. If push ever came to shove in this business, Tom would wind up as a college professor, I'm sure, and be a damn good one. I, on the other hand, when push comes to shove, I will wind up as a gas station attendant. Oh, wait a second. We don't have those anymore, do we? Well, okay. Clerk in a Magic Market or a 7-Eleven or a QT. You think I'm kidding, don't you? David is calling from San Francisco. Hey, David.
Hey, Mike. I've got some blather going on in the background. We got Rumsfeld's on CNN right now, but I'm just audio taping that. And
Rumsfeld is on live?
Oh no. I guess this is the hour that they're playing that back. So you know, you just put your VCR on and listen to you.
Oh yeah. Did you hear any of that today? This guy is really crazy, Rumsfeld. I mean, he is sincerely a psychopath.
You know, I don't know if I ever told you. I got this little. Cable TV show out here in San Francisco, and I lately had an idea for a show.
Yeah.
Not necessarily a regular one, but an episode where you take a bunch of, like, various drug rehab, go to an Al-Anon meeting or something like that, and then you say, hey, I got a whole bunch of tapes I want to show you. And they pull out Bush, you know, and you pull out Fox News, and you pull out, you know, what are these guys on,
yeah,
right? And then
yeah.
You have, like, this almost like a round table discussion of the drugs of choice of these so-called leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that would be a sight to behold.
Everyone, I can't think of very many people in the Bush administration who do not belong in a 12-step program. They are liars. They are abusers. They are cheats. They are sneaks. 12-step programs, I think, are good, whether you're trying to break substance abuse or abusing other people with your attitude toward life.
Yeah, although I'm kind of more thinking, you know, what were they on when they came up with this stuff?
Yeah, well, that's true.
Because
yeah.
That, you know, that's the ugliest deal, but it also kind of explains how they can...
Well, I think they were drunk on power. You know that saying, power corrupts, absolute power, yada, yada, yada. So,
yeah. By the way, and this comes into... I forgot your screener's name.
Kathy,
yeah. She's
also my wife.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that.
And the producer.
All these years? Dang, yeah. Hey, well, happy marriage.
Thank you.
Wait, Operation Mass Appeal, and I mentioned it to her, and she said you'd already talked about it?
Yes, yes.
Oh, good, yeah, because I'll tell you, I'm kind of sending that around. It was just something that, you know, I'm so buried in mail, it came in a month ago, and I never got to it.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, this idea that weapons of mass destruction, right?
Right.
There was very little coverage of Operation Mass Appeal in the popular press, right?
Hey, hold it right there. Hold it right there. We got to take a break, David. We'll come back, and you can give a quick synopsis of what Operation Mass Appeal is. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
We are going to do Rumsfeld now. You know, I talk about doing acid 30 years ago. Rumsfeld must do it daily. Right before he goes out for a press conference, Rummy comes out all acid-headed up and, you know, just stoned on his ass, just completely freaked out.
Oh, hi. I noticed the doorknobs are all crawling around the ceiling. Hello. Ask me nothing. Get these spiders off of me. People were waving things at me. There's stuff jumping out of doors. Ew, Jesus. You know, the fire hose on the wall there, it just rose up like a snake. And you're asking me questions like, I don't know this stuff.
This is the Secretary of Defense, Truth Seeker. It's insane. Do you understand? These people are crazy.
So crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I'm
wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal.
Anaconda. Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network. All right, boys, come on.
Got the flying monkey ride blues. Here's the cure, Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. We're talking to David in San Francisco, who I hung up on. Thanks for calling back, David. I'm sorry. I do that all the time. Now, Operation Mass Appeal. Go ahead. Give us a quick synopsis. We only have a minute or two here.
Yeah, well, let's see. Dennis Ritter. You remember
Scott Ritter?
Or Scott Ritter, yeah. Mm-hmm. He was apparently giving some testimony in the Hutton inquiry,
right.
And it came out that there was what was called Operation Mass Appeal,
mm-hmm.
That they were going to be able to push the weapons of mass destruction con on the British public through this MI6 paid-for operation. And he said he was on the payroll from, what, 97 through, sounded like he quit in 99. Maybe they weren't paying him. Who knows what was going on. But
right.
He, about 99, he started changing his tune away from being the company man, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so this whole issue, they have receipts for the PR campaign that was being used 5 years ago. And it's interesting, you know, because... It's like Rush Limbaugh. You look at OxyContin. It gives you hallucinations. It gives you psychosis, right?
Mm-hmm,
that's
right.
What the PDR says.
Right,
it gives you psychosis and hallucinations.
Uh-huh.
So we've got a guy who has had one of the biggest shows in America for years, and he's got psychosis and hallucinations, and he's allowed to run amok, getting paid to say all the craziest crap in the world, and everybody in the world, all the other talk show hosts are now working on a kind of a fastest gun in the West, trying to outdo Rush on his craziness.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody's, I'm looking at therapy. You know, how do you do therapy once Rush gets busted, right?
Right.
And it's serious, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, here's a five-year-old plan, Operation Mass Appeal.
Right.
Rush on the payroll of this? Let's look at the receipts, you know. They found Neil and the prostitute. There's got to be receipts for these people. You know, it's a business deal.
Yeah.
And get paid for, apparently, by our black budget, so they better have a budget, or, you know.
I would not be the least surprised. Rush Limbaugh, to me, is I've said it before, a sincere threat to this republic. And part of the Republican right-wing neo-Nazi establishment, I wouldn't be the least bit surprised. Although I would think that Limbaugh would do it for fun because he's such a Nazi that he would just say, no, I'll participate in this because I hate America and I hate people and I just want money and I'm a pig.
Yeah, well, I don't doubt it. Hey, by the way, one last thing. You know, Jubilee, I still think that that's going to be the best way to get us out of this because you got all of these... You know, accountants now and politicians looking at how to get us out of the huge humiliation that the United States has done to itself and the world.
Right.
And then the budget of reparations. Now, we got James Baker trying to screw things up, plus we got people trying to put in honest claims.
Mm-hmm.
Jubilee is going to be the quickest and most effective way of dealing with it. All of a sudden, Rumsfeld can't hire an army.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I would think. Jubilee, and for folks who don't know, and I'm sure everybody does know, is the forgiveness of some of this debt that's been loaded onto countries that simply can't handle it. David, thank you. I appreciate you checking in, pal.
Hey, no trouble. I'm talking about global Jubilee, where you just start over all the numbers flat.
Exactly.
Out,
yeah, forgiveness of debt. Yeah,
yeah, and
absolutely.
Frankly, with global warming, you know, we got to go off budget to save our lives anyway. Why get trapped in somebody's number system when you got to do it right the first time? So,
that's absolutely true. Absolutely true. Thanks, David.
All right, have a good night.
All right, sir, you too. Byron, our truck-driving Byron. Now, tonight he's near Troutville, Virginia. Hey, Byron.
Hey, 3 minutes left. I knew you'd come to me.
No, actually, I have to take a break. I've got enough time to say, hey, it's Byron driving around Troutville, Virginia.
Well, I'm your favorite fan. Can you play Misty for me?
Play Misty? Yeah, right. No, I saw that movie 30 years ago. Scared the hell out of me. Hey, let me put you on hold. I'll come right back, Byron. We got to take a quick break here. 800-TALK-YES is a number. Join us. After tonight, we have 17 broadcast days left, and that's it.
Let's play
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Your emotions can keep you out of trouble on a wilderness adventure, but they can also trip you up. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Humans are naturally programmed to sense trouble and avoid danger in order to survive. Lawrence Gonzalez is the author of a new book called Deep Survival: Who Lives, Who Dies, and Why. He says environmental cues can automatically set off our fight or flee response.
The emotional system is one that's designed to produce automatic behavior that doesn't require any thought, such as running away from danger. And as you learn this stuff, you get a reading on whether your behavior produced a good or bad outcome. And the next time you approach a situation that's similar, you'll feel that it's good or bad. You won't really have to think about it. You'll get what most of us would call a gut feeling, like, uh-oh, something bad's going to happen.
Gonzalez says those messages can keep you out of harm's way. Ironically, they can also get you into trouble. Gonzalez says positive emotional bookmarks, as he calls them, can lead you to overlook risks. Skiers, for example, might be getting an emotional high while making runs down the slopes. Gonzalez says that can lead to dangerous behavior.
And then you go on the back of the mountain to get in some powder, and it's an avalanche zone, and the avalanche danger is high, and maybe even you know that. But because you're in this emotional state, and because the emotional bookmark tells you that you're going to get a really good feeling and a reward from it, you just go zooming off across the slope without really getting your cognitive abilities involved. You don't really think about it. You just do it. Next thing you know, you're buried under the snow.
In Deep Survival, Gonzalez says our emotional warning system often keeps us out of trouble, but he says we sometimes have to override it by thinking things through. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
What do you think I like about communing with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? Yeah. You're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Truth, Justice, and the American Way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
It's coming through a hole in the air from those Nats in Tiananmen Square.
All right, 27 before the hour. And we're talking with Byron, one of our over-the-road dudes who's calling in from Troutville, Virginia. Hey, Byron, where were we? Oh, we were nowhere. Hadn't even started yet.
No, we hadn't even started. But anyway, he wasn't AWOL. He was just an unsatisfactory participant. Well, that makes me feel better.
Yeah. Well, I had somebody just send me an email say, unsatisfactory participant, my ass. The guy was a deserter and he's AWOL. I don't care what the terms are. And that's kind of my attitude. Although I do appreciate Victor writing in to let me know that there is a clearly defined There are clearly defined parameters around these definitions, because I don't know this sort of thing, and I'm glad that Victor did email in. But like I say, I will, if necessary, I'll just say he is a, quote, deserter, close quote. I'll put quotes around the damn word, but to me, he's a deserter.
That's all gobbledygook as far as I'm concerned. look, I know you probably go through a lot of things putting together a show every day.
Yeah.
Are you much of a C-SPAN watcher or listener?
We do. Kathy spends a lot of time with C-SPAN, depending on what hearings are covering or who's testifying. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Nancy was talking to this Wendell character this morning. I don't know, is he a senator or a congressman or something? I didn't catch the first part of the show.
I don't know.
Apologist for the Bush administration, anyway. Anyway, he was talking about this morning, and of course, you know, these jerks always do this when, you know, they've only got one or two calls left, so nobody can call them. They save the really outrageous stuff to the end, so nobody can call them and
rebut.
Call them on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Well, he was saying it's just the war was Saddam's fault because 1441 and blah, 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 and then he kicked the inspectors out. Well, what? You
that's
know,
not true.
Pressure.
Yeah,
no,
that's
it's not true.
Right, it's absolutely not true. Clinton pulled them out.
And then, he was talking about here, you know, Bush pulled him out so he could attack him.
Yeah.
That's what happened. I mean,
excuse me.
Let him in.
Excuse me. I didn't mean Clinton pulled him out. I mean Bush did.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and Hans Blix, you know, he begged the administration. I mean, you know, Cheney and all of a sudden, you know where these weapons are. Tell us where they're at, and we'll go find them and destroy them. Oh, well, no, we can't do that.
Right.
You know, we can't let you in on it.
Wait a second, Byron. I'm getting all confused. Let's stop a second because I know I'm going to get a blizzard of emails here. Neither Clinton nor Bush had the power to pull out NATO. UN weapons inspectors. I think the argument was Bush kept saying he wouldn't let the inspectors in. And these poor bastards had been there for over a decade. Now it's getting late in the evening here, and you know I've got these oral surgery problems going on. I'm not thinking real clearly, but if I remember right, what we've talked about before was the weapons inspectors were always there. Neither Clinton nor Bush had the power to order UN weapons inspectors to leave. They didn't have the power. So I'm sorry to be confusing there. Ugh! Now, where were you?
I'm totally confused. But anyway, Saddam did not kick the inspectors out.
Right. That's we know that to be true.
Okay. Well, that's what this Wendell character was saying this morning. And also, this weapons inspector that just resigned, what was his name?
David Kay. Right.
I mean, what was it, yesterday or Monday? He was at the White House having dinner with Bush.
Right.
Well, now today they started this thing about, Kay was not in charge. This two-star general, whatever his name was in charge.
Yeah.
And Kay had no power. So whatever Kay says doesn't mean anything because this two-star general was the one that has the power. So they've already started to do the same thing to Kay that they did to Scott.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Well, I missed that. I missed that on trying to make it look like David Kay. David Kay is former CIA. He was a UN weapons inspector. He became an American weapons inspector. If they can discredit this guy, they can discredit anybody, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the most ridiculous stuff. I mean, these guys, you know, there is going to be, hopefully, I mean, if there is justice in the world,
mm-hmm.
there is going to be a reckoning because these guys, these Republicans, scaremongers and liars cannot keep repeating this stuff over and over and over. Even when they're called on it, they keep repeating it over and over and over again. They think it's going to become the truth.
Yeah, we'll pray for that justice. Byron, thanks for checking in, buddy.
Well, I'm a truth seeker, and I'll always, no matter what it takes, wherever you go, I'm going to go. And keep reminding people to go to your website, like Kathy said, and sign that petition because, hey, buddy, we want you back on. You know, we want you where we can get you.
Yeah, there is a petition there. I don't know if it's still active. That somebody, one of our listeners, set up with petition online, and so we link to it. What the hell? But people can go to MikeMalloy.com and go to the gallery page, and it's right there at the top. Byron, thanks a lot, pal. I'll chat with you again.
Hasta.
All right, sir. Take care. Kim is calling, another one of our over-the-road trucker fleet. Kim is calling, driving near Lexington, Kentucky. Thank God for Sirius Satellite Radio. All y'all are listening on Sirius. Hey, Kim, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going? Well, I got some bad news.
Uh-oh.
you and Paul, I mean, Peter Collins.
Yeah.
Peter Collins has been totally preempted every night now with either basketball or hockey.
Yeah.
You get the first 2 hours whacked off.
Yeah, my buddy Joe down in Cypress, Texas, emailed me earlier tonight and said the same thing. That
I think the series is in breach of contract personally.
Well, I would think so, but I don't think they think so.
No, but you know this thing about Janet Jackson and her nipple.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, USA twice had two different articles about restaurant managers being sued for asking a woman to go either to a private room or covering the baby up while she's feeding the baby breastfeeding.
Right, right.
But yet FCC says, oh, my goodness, this is terrible. Jan just shows something for, 30 seconds? But we replayed it 700 times, so everybody knows about it.
Right.
Therefore, we're going to have a multi-million dollar investigation.
Right, right.
Come on, let's get real.
They're sick, Kim. They're sick.
We got a guy up there raping our country.
Yeah.
As well as raping Iraq.
Yeah.
And we're worried about a nipple.
And we're worried about Janet Jackson and Justin Timberlake, for God's sake.
I mean, how ridiculous can these idiots... Well, that's...
Don't ask.
That's an oxymoron. They're idiots.
Yeah, don't ask.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's only our money. What the hell?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. All right, Kim, drive safe. One of your buddies is on hold here. I want to get to him. You take it easy here.
You too. Be safe, man.
All right, Kim. Appreciate it. And Dan... Another one of our over-the-road crew, driving near Loveland, Colorado, also listening on Sirius. Hey, Dan.
How's it going, Mike?
Hey, it's going pretty good, pal. How are you?
I'm doing all right. The funny thing is, the main reason I called was to say the same thing about Sirius radio. Well, I wanted to say I have, as far as the breach of contract, first of all, I love the Sirius radio for a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
Not the least of which is that you're on it and I get to listen. But I have this program thing right in front of me, this little program card.
Yeah.
And it says that Talk Right and Talk Central are supposed to be preempted by sports, but not Talk Left.
Huh. Well.
So, yeah. So and of course I have no problem with Talk Right and Talk Central being
right.
preempted by sports games. But actually, I had also a question for you.
Okay.
Totally unrelated to anything political.
All right.
The song that was played after this last break, was that Leonard Cohen?
Yeah, absolutely. I love I love Leonard Cohen music. I've got about 5 or 6 of his CDs. I just always have liked his music. You know, he's been writing music for, 40 years?
Yeah, and he went, I don't know if you've heard his latest album, I haven't, but, you know, he was in a Buddhist monastery for a number of years and didn't make anything. And
right.
Just a couple of years ago came back and came out with an album. I don't know if you heard that.
I have not heard that, and I did not know that he had gone to a monastery.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's probably about, I want to say 10, but maybe it's more like 8 years. He was just incommunicado.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That sounds like something I need to do.
I've thought about it before, you know.
Right. Well, we have, it's not Buddhist, it's a Christian, but we have a monastery not far from here in Atlanta. It's out in Conyers, Georgia. And Kathy and I have gone there before on Christmas Eve for midnight mass. And I'm not sure what order it is, but these are monastic brothers who live in this monastery. And boy, I'll tell you something, you have not seen a Christmas Eve midnight mass, high holy mass, until you've seen one done by monastic brothers, regardless of what particular group they're part of. It's 12th century stuff. I mean, it's unbelievable.
I have to see that sometime.
Yeah,
Up where I used to live in upstate New York, and there's a out in Ithaca there, where Cornell University is. There's a Catholic monastery and. I was invited once. I wasn't able to because of my work schedule, but mm-hmm. I was invited to spend like 3 weeks in the monastery just as a layperson. You pay them like $10 a week,
right?
Which I think is, you know, extremely reasonable.
Yeah, I would think, yeah.
And you kind of just see what that environment is like for a few weeks. I never got the chance, so I might try it sometime.
Well, if you ever want to see a midnight mass, a Christmas service that is right, like I said, right out of the 12th century, find a monastery someplace, a Catholic monastery, and check it out. But I will try to find the new album by Leonard Cohen because I just think the man is a genius.
Yeah, I think he's a genius, too. I like that you that the song is one of his newer ones. You know, I like his older stuff, too, the folkier
right.
stuff. But I really, when he started to get really passionate about world politics and stuff and started writing that way, it really grabbed me.
Yeah, I hear you.
But I want to say one last thing, if that's okay.
Sure.
Give you 1 minute. About the whole Janet Jackson thing, which is that... you know, I watched the Super Bowl, and I saw the whole thing happen, and I wasn't scandalized by it. But the thing that gets me is that here we are with, you know, our loved ones and children and whatever, watching, you know, 4 straight hours of outside of boxing, the most violent sport on television.
Yeah, really.
These guys pummel each other into the ground.
And bad commercials, too.
And, yeah, and terrible commercials.
Commercials
except
with...
for I switched to CNN, and I watched that Move On.
The Move On, yeah. Well, when you were watching the Super Bowl, did you see the beer commercial with the horse fart?
You know, it's funny. I think I was talking to other drivers in the TV lounge, and I think we missed that one.
Oh, boy.
But I heard about it.
You talk about tacky, yeah. Nasty stuff. I could not believe the commercial.
And then they had those. They had the new male enhancement pill or whatever.
right.
They couldn't be more overtly sexual. And
I know.
Then, you know, we see Janet Jackson's boob, and now there has to be an investigation after all that violence and sex.
Yeah,
it's just totally unbelievable.
Ain't this a great country?
Yeah, yeah.
You know. Hey, Dan, take it easy. Drive safely, okay?
Thanks a lot, Mike. Good talking to you.
All right, sir. Appreciate it. Hope to hear from you again. Take care. I love the over the road trucker crew that found this program on Sirius and have remained loyal ever since we joined Sirius. Thanks to you guys and gals a lot for taking us all around the country the way you have. Got to share this with you. Mike, this is from Paul. Mike, I realize that most people of conscience state that we need to do what it takes to unseat Bush. The rabble cry that Dennis is unelectable, that we need someone whom the mainstream can support. I cannot stomach John Kerry. He has the charisma of a dairy cow and the intestinal fortitude of a flatworm. Oh, God! How can a man who states that he can't make a judgment on such a poignant issue as Bush being AWOL lead a nation? Well, yeah, that's what we were talking about earlier. Paul continues, I would rather vote for a green candidate than prostitute my vote. If the blankety-blank public wants 4 more years of this blank, let them have it. They deserve him. I think that 4 more years of Bush may be what this country needs to stimulate a revolution or a military coup. I'm really at the point where it seems evident that the U.S. public is just too blankety-blank stupid for a real democracy. I'm going to India on February 14th, and when I return on March 2nd, you and Kathy will be gone. I want to take this opportunity to thank you both for being there. I've been listening for a little over a year, a little under a year, but you gave me a bit of hope. You made me laugh many times, and you certainly were informative as you widened my horizons. Plus, you like the Moody Blues. I wish you both all the best with your careers, your new baby, and your lives. Thank you again. Well, Paul, that's very kind. Thank you. That is very kind, the last part. The first part was, it's going to happen. Paul's going to piss off Kerry supporters, but that's the point I was making. John Kerry, if he's going to be president, if he's going to get the nomination, let me put it that way, okay, get it. And by God, I'll vote for you, dude. But like we said earlier, he has got to toughen up. He's got to stop this waffling. He's got to start treating the Bush crime family like the mafia hit team that it is, because they will devour him. They will take John Kerry and turn him inside out. They're already one of their horrors. What's your name? Is it Laura Ingraham or what's the blonde's name, Kathy? What's your name? I'm drawing a blank. What's the name of the blonde right winger, Kathy?
Ann Coulter-Geist.
Thank you, Ann Coulter-Geist. Ann Coulter is already referring to Kerry as a kept man, because the two women he's been married to have been mega wealthy. So the attacks are already starting on Kerry, and if Kerry is going to not respond, you know, try to take the high road, that doesn't work in American politics. It does not work. It doesn't work with the American public. You poll anybody. whether or not they respond to negative advertising, they'll say, oh, no, hell no, I hate negative advertising. But it works. Kerry and his team better come to one understanding, and that is Bush and his thugs will do everything short of killing John Kerry, and they may even try that in order to retain their hold on power. Get tough, John. Toughen up, dude.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
What does most political talk radio sound like?
Good morning and welcome to my show. I'm fine, thanks for asking.
A little self-centered?
We're not going to take any calls right now because I want to talk. Remember, the show was at its best when it's more me and less of you.
Not very listener friendly.
We're talking about all the progress we've made in Iraq. Tom in Seattle, you're on the air. Make it quick.
Yeah, I don't really agree with what you said about...
And I don't agree with you calling my show. Let's get it clear, people. If you don't agree with me, then you must be a communist.
A little one-sided?
The fact is that the Dixie Chicks should be sent to Iraq to live in a
Okay with Osama. Jeff in California, you're on the air. Make it quick.
I have a comment on how the U.S. has completely forgotten about Osama bin Laden.
No, you don't have a comment, Jeff. But what you do have is the privilege to listen to my show. And you're abusing it. And I am offended.
All around bad radio.
Says you.
But there is an alternative.
What?
You can get the best of progressive talk radio on the only progressive talk radio network there is, i.e. America Radio Network. For more information, go to iamericaradio.com.
You'll be back.
No, they won't.
Yes, they will.
Get out of here.
Don't touch me.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Finally, the majority has a voice in talk radio. Here's Mike Malloy.
It's about 4 before the hour. Rummy Speaks. Don't forget, join us tomorrow night for Rummy's Senate testimony. Going to be hot. Kathy's going to get all the outrageous sound bites. Adam is calling from Athens, Georgia, from the University of Georgia there. Hey, Adam.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Doing fine, sir. We have about a minute left, Adam.
All right. Well, tonight at the meeting, our Young Dems meeting, we had a professor, and he was speaking about going to visit a friend in the Army in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And as he was entering the gate, he noticed a gentleman at the gate with blue uniforms and then a sidearm and then like a baseball cap.
Yeah.
Okay. When he asked his friend, you know, who the hell are these guys? Oh, that's the private, you know, privatized the security.
Wackenhut.
Their private company owned by Halliburton.
I think the company he's referring to is one called Wackenhut. They started out, as I know them, about 40 years ago into corporate security. And you're absolutely right. We have military bases now, both here and abroad, that have been turned over to private security forces. And a huge contractor is Kellogg Brown & Root, which is a division of Halliburton. It's terrible what these bastards are doing to this country and the military.
How is that? How do we not have MPs at every single?
I have no idea, Adam. I don't get this. I don't understand it. It's privatization. It's the Bush crime family making money on death and destruction, making money on the military, making money on everything they can get their filthy hands on. These people have to be turned out of office. Dear God, they have to be turned out.
And I thought I knew everything until he said that.
Yeah. Well, no, it's pretty bad. Adam, thanks for checking in.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right, sir. Appreciate it. Mark Marshall is the webmaster at MikeMalloy.com. Check it out. Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent. Program produced by Catherine Bay here in Atlanta. Robin Bittman is our announcer or something. I'll see you tomorrow night. I hope. I really, really hope. I really hope. Take care. Just love. No more lies.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004.
No more lies, no more. No more lies.
Tia Carrera is on the front. Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well,
a few more years on them.
No. I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
When I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems